Beasley had 10 in game one, and he also hurt the Spurs in the regular season. Good on you, Patty, as Mills quiets the crowd a bit, knocking down the triple, his first three of the night, and his first points. He does have 3 rebounds and 5 assists, though.
That's a big shot there from Patty. What a great answer.
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Straya. It's Wednesday, April 17. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer, apparently, for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to sling me some of that folding stuff. And I'm here in Larayama Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball sitting at home on his couch in the NBA playoffs today. That's right, man. We're breaking down, wrapping up after every single day of NBA action while ripping Straya just a little bit. It's what we do. All right, so 3 game twos today. We had Magic Raptors, Spurs Nugs, and OKC Portland. A bit of argy-bargy, a Johnny Storm impression. A couple of great games. It was really good. So that's all going to be covered with the usual dumbassery of that's not an iFold, mate, no, mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, we've always got, yeah, nah, there's the unpopular opinion of the day. And there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We've also got a brand new Shane Hill Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Award, and a look at the odds and a pick and preview for all the game twos tomorrow, with a couple of tips thrown in for you as well. Nice one. We're also going to close out today's show with a brand new Rowdy's Reco, as Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by with another of his life hacks. It's going to be awesome. All right, let's get into it. It's episode 267 of NBA Straya. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wah, you better. You better watch out for the attack of the solidly standing there Steven Adams. Or the attack of Clamps, Kawhi Leonard. Oh, man, what a fun day of NBA this was today. I'm going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show, with a daily whip around. That's right. I got a bit of sad news off the bat with a bit of injury news. Boogie Cousins could seemingly maybe return for the finals, but the belief is that he's lost for the entirety of this Golden State Warriors postseason run with a torn left quad injury, and he is Donetsky. Ah, that sucks for the big fella, doesn't it? Jesus, 2 years straight he goes down with a fucking season-ending injury on a hustle play as well. Man, that sucks. Other news, we got some great post-31-point comeback victory inside the locker room shots from yesterday, with Lou Williams eating nachos after he dropped his 36 points in the biggest comeback in NBA history. That's right, the Warriors blew a 31-point lead, 3-1, that's what they do. And Lou Will went, fuck it, I'm going to eat some nachos. The Warriors, this is nacho night. Joel Embiid, his flagrant 1 from yesterday will not be retroactively upgraded to a flagrant 2. I didn't even know they could fucking do that. Jesus. Anyway, he will remain at 1 flagrant foul point, because don't forget, once a player reaches 4 flagrant foul points, they get suspended, which is what happened when Draymond Green punched and kicked dicks on his way to being suspended in 2016. So that's how it goes. Other news, Charlotte Hornets center Bismack Biyombo, boom, 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 Biyombo, has exercised his $17 million player option for next season. No shit. I would too. The lesson, as always, never pay someone after they've had an awesome playoff run. That's a rough one, I tell you. And also happy birthday to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He turned 72 today. Oh, that's nice. I mean, good on him. I always fucking hated watching him play basketball when I was, like, tiny, but still, whatever. And that's about it. No other real news for today, so let's roll into some raps. Shit, yeah. Let's just do it. The Toronto Raptors once more hosted the Orlando Magic, and this time it all went to script as the Raptors shit-pumped the Magic at 111-82. An absolute smashing this one. If we refer back to our big question and our key blokes for this one, the big question was, will you watch even 1 second of the series? I mean, yes, because the Magic somehow pulled off game one thanks to DJ Augustine. That was unreal. Unfortunately for the Magic, he turned back into DJ Augustine. And yeah, it's a rough one. So for the key blokes, our big winner on this one was Kawhi. Whereas our prediction that he'd rip through the Magic, and that's exactly what he did. Absolutely tore them apart today. Big booty Kyle Lowry. Smash DJ Augustine. I mean, that was another one of our big matchups. And same with the other matchup, Vooch, being covered by Marc Gasol, the coach killer, and Serge Ibaka. Leaving Air Gordon and Johnny Isaac to step up. And look, that's what happened. Vooch got killed. Air Gordon stepped up a little bit, and Johnny Isaac shit the bed, and there you go. Orlando lose. So the Magic, they shot 37% in this game. Yeah, that won't do it, especially when the other team shoots 48.3. As mentioned, DJ Augustine turned back into the pumpkin version of DJ Augustine. 1 of 6 from the field, 9 points, 4 assists, minus 21. Evan, don't Google me, Fournier. Oh, I'm Evan Fournier. Please do not Google my name. 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting. That stinks. Vooch, as mentioned as well, held to nothing again for the second straight game. 6 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, only 7 field goal attempts. He is being smothered by Gasol and Ibaka. So it's a rough one there for the Magic's only All-Star. Johnny Isaac had a shocker. 1 of 8 for him. 0 of 6 from deep. 5 points, 4 rebounds in 23 minutes. Aaron Gordon, he had a pretty good one. Bounced back 20 points, 5 rebounds, 8 of 12 shooting, but not quite enough. You need him to drop like 40 in this fucking game, don't you? T-Ross, he had 2 of 11 shooting in game one. Looked, he was like on the money again for game two, though. He's like, fuck yes, I'm going to go fucking bananas, mate. He was like 5 of 8 in the first half. He had 15 points, went 3 of 7 from 3. Unfortunately, T-Ross against his old team also did sweet fuck all in the second half, however. Went 0 of 3. So yeah, that was rough. Michael Carter-Williams, he had 8 points, 9 rebounds. Turns out he's actually still in the NBA and doing things, sure. For the Raptors, Kawhi. And a massive game. 37 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Shot 15 of 21, did clamps. 4 of 7 from 3. He was a plus 35. Jesus, that's wild. Playoff Kyle Lowry went back in his bag and actually had a good game. Big booty Kyle Lowry had 22 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. Shot 8 of 13 after putting up a goose egg in game 1. Pascal Siakam had his first ever playoff double-double, 19 and 10 for him. Marc Gasol was pretty handy out there as well, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. Filling up that box score there, Marc Coach Killer Gasol. He went 3 of 4 from 3 as well for all of his 9 points. It was a plus 22, Jesus. Danny, not the boxer green, had a goose egg, 0 of 4. 0 points. Fred Van Vliet of the Fightin' Van Vliet's also had a bit of a shit one. 1 of 5 for him for 2 points. But Serge Ibaka filled in the gaps. He had 13 and 8. And basically hit a 3 in the first half where it's like, oh, yeah, this is just done. So you can switch it off. But that's all right. You know, the series is tied 1-1. And the cool thing about today was we had 2 series get tied up because Denver hosted the Spurs and actually beat them this time, which was crazy. Look, this was wild. They were down 19, the Nuggets, and came all the way back to win. The Spurs couldn't get anything going in the fourth quarter. And Jammin' Jamal Murray went fucking ballistic, mate. He went total Johnny Storm. Flame on. It was on. He had missed every shot he'd taken up until this point. And then suddenly he just goes, ah, fuck it. Makes like 7 straight, goes 8 of 9 in the fourth quarter. Has 21 points in the fourth quarter. San Antonio, just as an entire team, managed 23. Fucking hell, man. So Denver, eke one out against the Spurs. A much-needed win. Absolutely wild times. Like, Jamal Murray, everyone's like, oh, maybe they should play Isaiah Thomas or put Monty Morris back in there because Jamal Murray can't shoot. And it's like, yeah, he's having a rough night. But shoot a shoot, man. If we've learned anything from Shane Hill, shoot a shoot. Shoot your shot. And that's what Jamal Murray did, and he fucking caught fire at the exact right time and led the Nugs to a big, big, big win. So that was fun. Will Barton was pretty shit in this. But anyway, the one big question for this series was, are Denver ready for this and ready for Pop? After game 1, the answer was no. And then most of the way through this game, the answer was again, no. They were down 19. Then they came all the way back to win, and it was pretty wild. The key blokes in the series are Joker. How talked about how he could dominate the series and have a signature run, and especially against the sort of no real big, crazy defensive bigs on the Spurs. He was very good, but he didn't quite dominate. He had a pretty bloody good game, though, so that's pretty good. He's obviously a key bloke. And DeMar DeRozan there going up against Jam and Jamal and the Dartsman. And Will the Thrill, he was really good too. So hit those on the head. And the best matchup to watch out for, the Joker and Paul Thrillsap, LaMarcus Aldridge. And this was a really good hammer and tongs game for all of them. It was a really fun matchup. So for the Spurs, just a real bloody rough game. Shooting wise, they went 5 of 18 from 3. Yeah, that'll do it. DeMar DeRozan there had 31 points, 7 rebounds. He shot 11 of 19 from the field. That's very good. Marcus Aldridge went 24 and 8. Derek White had 17 points. Bryn Forbes was a bit meh. 2 of 6 for his 5 points. Yeah. Rudy Gay had 5. It was 5s everywhere, apparently. Patty Mills had 5. And Bellinelli had 8. But the Spurs just could not get it going in the fourth quarter. They only scored 23 points. Got outscored by 16 in the fourth quarter. They just fell off a fucking cliff. It was pretty, pretty sad, man. So, a bit of a rough one for them. But anyway, the Nugs, 5 turnovers for the entire game. That's pretty good. Holy shit, 5 turnovers for an entire game. Nikola Jokic, hello! As mentioned, had a massive game, 21 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists and 2 steals. But look, they were running everything through him and it was awesome, and they were keeping pace, and then they just need Jamal to actually hit shots, and that's what he did. What a comeback, 24 points total, 8 of 17 in the end. 2 of 3 from 3 with 4 assists. Hits 21 points in the fourth quarter. It was awesome. Love me some Jam and Jamal. Will the Thrill Barton had a shit one. As mentioned, 1 of 10 for him. We'll talk about him later. The Dartsman, Gary Harris. He's had a pretty good series now. 23 points. 10 of 16 shooting for Gary the Dartsman Harris. 3-6 from downtown. Paul Thrillsap also chucked in 20 points, 7 rebounds. Monty Morris had 11 and 6. Malik Beasley had an 8-3-3 in the Plum Dog Millionaire. Mason Plumlee looks exactly like my youngest brother, Joe, 4-5-2. And Mike Malone has won his first ever playoff game as a head coach. Oh, isn't that nice? And we now have the Nugs and Spurs all tied up at 1 apiece. Legendary. And then the final game of today, Portland versus OKC, hosting OKC up there in Oregon with our buddy PDX Pete, no doubt, looking on intently. Portland win it. Absolutely pumping. 114-94. OKC couldn't hit the fucking side of a barn. And Dame Lillard is out there crushing it. OKC seriously just couldn't hit a fucking three. It was actually kind of embarrassing. Like, and this is what happens when OKC just go bad. They shot 5 of 28 from 3 as a team. It was gross. And you just, like, feel bad for them, don't you? You're just like, ah, oh, god damn it. Come on, man. But it was wild times. Great fun game. Myers Leonard was being cheered by the Blazers crowd. If you thought thought a 31-point comeback was massive, how about the Portland fans turning around and going, ah, we like Myers Leonard. It's a big comeback. So this was really fun. I mean, Steven Adams and laid a massive, massive screen into Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard and Rusty got into it a little bit. Rusty flopped around a bunch. It's pretty fun. But the one big question for the series, I mean, can Portland get on the board? Well, yeah, they're 2-0 up. Without Nurk, that's what happened. The key blokes, Paul George, had a pretty good one as well, but he's just not bang on right, is he? So I don't know, it's hard to sort of see the way Paul George plays is the sort of efficiency lockdown on both ends, smart decisions, and it's not quite there, is it? 11 of 20 he shot, 2 of 7 from 3, he had 27 points, 8 rebounds, but 5 turnovers. I mean, that'll, he had 2 straight in the middle of the third, and it's just like, oh, this sucks. Other key blokes, though, Dame obviously smashing it, especially in his battle against Rusty. CJ is absolutely crushing as well, getting back to health. Enes versus his old team, Steven Adams, ooh-wee. Looks like Enes may have hurt his hand today, though. And Paul George, the other matchups that are pretty fun. I mean, he's doing okay, but Mo, Chief, Layman. I mean, Layman. Jake, not a layman, didn't really get out there for much today. But, yeah, between Amino and Harkless, they're kind of slowing him down, so... For the Thunder, as mentioned, Paul George had the 27 and 8. Rusty had a rough one, 14, 8, and 11 on 5 of 20 shooting. To go with 6 turnovers. Steven Adams, brew, had 16 and 9. Dennis Schröder, I am German, Rondo, had 7 points. Ugh. 21 minutes, 2 of 5 shooting for German Rondo. It's a rough one. Yeah. Come on, Dennis. What are you doing, mate? Anyway, what else? I mean, it's just a sort of bit of a shit show for the rest of the Thunder. They shot 40% as a team, and it's like dudes like Jeremy Grant, he went 1 of 7. I mean, T-Ferg went 3 of 9. And when those dudes aren't going at, like, you know, around 40 to 50% efficiency on their shooting, it's just fucking hard for the Thunder to do much, especially when Rusty's struggling. So even Markieff Morris only went 1 of 3. Schroeder was obviously inefficient. Daniel Burton was 1 of 4 in 4 minutes in garbage time. Fatty Ray Felton still stinks. It's wild. So, I mean, at least Nerlens Noel got out there for his 8 and 7 in 15 minutes, but ugh. Just rough for OKC. But on the flip side, the Blazers look fucking great. Dame, 10 of 21, 29 points and 6 assists, was absolutely wilding. Hit a 30-foot fucking three right in everyone's face. Hit a couple of buzzer-beating threes as well, which is unreal. Enes the Penis looked to hurt his wrist, which but he came back, so I don't know. He only played 20 minutes. They took him out as a precaution, one would hope. At 6 and 5, but CJ McCollum had 33 points, 8 rebounds and 5 assists, 12 of 22 from the field, 3 of 7 from downtown. He was awesome. Mo Harkless, don't be Mo Harkless, 14 and 9. Throw down your gun. Nice one. Myers Leonard was sighted once more, 2 of 4 from the field for Myers. He's like your fucking like shitty cousin who's always a bit of a fuck up. And the Blazers crowd are like, he's not fucking up. How good is this? He was a plus 17 in 15 minutes, was Myers. He went 1 of 1 from 3 with 4 rebounds. It was awesome. And Seth the shit one Curry was fucking untouchable. 3 of 4 from 3 for his 9 points. Pretty bloody good. Just a really good performance all round from the Blazers. Like, every time OKC threw something at them, they equaled it and then fucking pushed back really hard, which is like something this team hasn't quite consistently done in the past, so it's going to be really interesting to see how they go taking their 2-0 lead into OKC. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia Proof Performance of the Night, shall we?
That's a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife, Kawhi. Man, 37-4-4 was absolutely fucking amazing in burying the Magic. But also, look, I'm going to give one out for each of these games today. Kawhi was incredible, 37-4-4. Jamming Jamal Murray in that fourth quarter. He was 0 of 8 for the first three quarters, then goes 8 of 9 in the fourth quarter. Absolutely fucking crazy. 21 points in a quarter. Almost outscores the entire Spurs in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Jesus, that's ballsy. So good on you, Jamming Jamal. And Dame Lillard, the back-to-back three-point buzzer beaters at the half and three-quarter time was fucking sick. So it's just like it deflates the opposition team when Dame's just like, you know what I can fucking do? I'm just awesome. So I'm going to put this in, blow it out your ass going into halftime. Fuck you. So good job to Kawhi, Jamming Jamal, and Dame Lillard. What about Old Mate No Mates?
Old mate, no mates.
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 Who's got no mates today? Jeez, can you tell that it's like fucking basically me? I'm a little bit hung. Jesus Christ. Go out for some beers. This is the whole thing when you get old. Suddenly you're just like, ah, cool. So I had some beers. Now I've got a fucking hangover. Ugh, anyway. Old mate, no mates is Max Kellerman from ESPN. Farted on air during First Take yesterday. Tried to cover it off with a cough, and it's about the funniest fucking thing, considering that he's now denying it. He's like, I couldn't even really hear it. And he's like getting dragged by the internet, which is fucking brilliant. So remember Max Kellerman, he who denied it, supplied it. Let's have a listen to that one, shall we?
Anything.
Well, is Draymond scared of something?
No, but the difference is that Draymond's usually arguing and fighting.
All right, cool. There you go. Thanks, Max Kellerman. That was definitely you farting and trying to cover it up with a cough. What about Spud of the Night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. A couple of worthy contenders for Spud of the Night today. Johnny Isaac, 1 of 8 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3. Jesus! For 5 points and 4 rebounds in 23 minutes. Will the Thrill Barton, he betted that and went 1 of 10. Jesus, Will. 1 of 10, 0 of 6 from 3 also. 3 points was a minus 6 in his minutes. Also, Rusty Westbrook. I mean, I love Rusty to fucking death. 14 points he ends up with. Almost has a triple-double, right? But also had 14 points on 5 of 20 shooting.
Kobe, 1 of 6 from three. Kobe, 6 turnovers. Kobe, and was a minus 27. Holy shit. Rusty. But actually, Spud of the Night, I'm going to give this one to Fatty Ray Felton. Hasn't hit a shot for the Thunder this series. 1 point today, 0 of 3 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3. He went 0 of 2 in game 1. He's played over 25 minutes combined across the two and has not hit a shot. Jesus. So Fatty Ray Felton not only looks like a spud, he plays like one too. Panting of the Night just goes to the Magic because they just turned back into the Magic, which was kind of sad because it was really fun to see the Raptors get a bit panicky there for a second. So Magic, lift your game, mates. But what about better than Lonzo Ball for today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as it's like hanging out on House of Highlights and watching the playoffs from afar. Because you know what it is? It's bowling season.
It's bowling season.
Yeah, all right. So better than Lonzo Ball for today, we're going to go with Monty Morris. Monty fucking Morris. That's right. Pick 51 in the 2017 draft. Unreal. Just out there absolutely crushing it better than Lonzo Ball ever has in the playoffs because he's never been there. He had 11 points and 6 assists today. He goes 5 of 10 from the field with 1 rebound and 1 steal. Lonzo, across his entire career, he's only ever shot better than that. I think it's 16 times in his entire career. So 49 picks later, Monty Morris goes. Denver are like, all right, thank you very much. We like Monty Morris. And he's out there crushing in the playoffs. So there you go. Monty Morris, with your 11 points, 6 assists, you are easily and officially better than Lonzo Ball. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yeah Nas right after, let's say, this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. Time for Yeah Nas. Oh, jeez. Struggle Town. Wasn't even out that late. God damn. Anyway, we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, is Kiwi Stephen Adams the funniest and best bloke in the NBA? Probably yeah. How good is he? When he was asked if he had any free time in between games up there in Portland to hang out with his old buddy Enes Kanter, Stephen Adams, bro, responded, yeah, but this time, bro. But I don't want to. That's fucking great. Yeah, there's time, but I don't want to. Good on you, Stephen. Next up, number two. Can the Warriors get through okay without Boogie and Bogey Andrew Bogut replacing him in the center spot? Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I mean, they just need to rely on Steph, KD, the Coward Snake, and Clay a little bit more, don't they? Boogie, Kevon Looney, Draymond, they can always just go back to the lineup of death anyway, so I think they'll be fine. It sucks for Boogie, but geez. Anyway, was that Dame push on Rusty a hostile act as the refs went and checked it on the old replay? This was one of the best Rusty flops you'll ever see. That was amazing in today's game. Rusty is like drawing with Dame all game, and he's like bitching and moaning, talking to the refs about Dame, and then Dame gives him a hint of a fucking shove, and Rusty fucking falls over like he's been shot. Come on, Rusty, pull the other one, mate. It plays Alex Lloyd's amazing. Next up, do the Blazers have the better Curry? I don't know, it's just another S Curry. Come on, man. Seth the shit one Curry, though, had a bit of a blinder today. Popped in. Just hit a couple of back-to-back threes that really fucking broke the game open. So good on you, Seth, the shit one, Curry. And then finally, there was a big report today about whether or not the AD Anthony Davis trade talk affected the Lakers' season. So do you think it did? Yes, of fucking course. Tyson Chandler, Josh Hart, the notorious KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Kyle Kuzma all apparently admitted that Anthony Davis' trade rumors affected the Lakers' season. Notorious KCP said it affected it a lot. Lots of trade talk was there. Everyone was kind of worried about that, especially the guys who haven't been through it. They was worried and they was going to end up and how they was going to do it, how it was going to mentally affect them. It affected the locker room a lot. No shit. Tyson Chandler, he said every situation I've been in, on you, Tyson, love that. I've seen it.
handled so many different ways. I've handled it privately. General managers just talk to guys when then comes up in the locker room anyway. I've seen where it's just silent. Nobody said nothing and nobody knew anything. And then guys are still on edge the closer it gets to the deadline. This year, it was all very public. It was all over the place. So when it comes to trades, when it comes to that time of year, I don't even know if there's a right way to go about it. But then young players have to go through it, have to experience it. And once you go through it, you just throw it in the back seat. So it's pretty weird. KCP and Chandler also sort of talking about how it affected the young guys. It's pretty worth noting and pointing out that the young guys outplayed the absolute shit out of the fucking moron veterans as all those rumors were flying around anyway. So just saying, just saying. Yeah, no shit, it derailed the fucking Lakers season. Also happens when you've got the best player sort of just not paying any attention to a fucking coach as well, huh? All right, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me, look at me, look at me. It's the unpopular opinion of the day. Hey, anyone who talks shit about Ben Simmons, Jamal Murray, or Devin Booker are basically fucking idiots at this point, right? The dudes are all 22. 22! They're going to be inconsistent. So game to game, we can't go, oh, he's shit. Fuck it. He's shit. Nah, he's shit. Oh, are we sure that he's good? It's like, he's 20 fucking two. The fact that they can perform at a crazy high level already is already insane and how, like, a testament to how fucking good they are. What we really just want to see out of them at this point is just them getting incrementally better and the consistency will then come, right? Come on, man, they're 22. There's dudes in college who are fucking older than them. So let's just fucking chill out on the fucking avalanche of shit talk as soon as someone has like a bad game or figuring out if a guy is like shit when he's 22. Anyway, all right, Outback Takehouse time. It's Wednesday at Outback and you know what that means. It's Walkabout Wednesdays with West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker cooking up our West Sydney Razorback ribs only at Outback. And today's West Sydney Razorback rib flame grill take is the Warriors blowing a 3-1 lead again means that they're mentally weak and will lose to the Rockets after they bottle it in a crucial moment in these playoffs. Only at Outback. So I did mention, you know, going to town after one game, and that's exactly what that flame grill take is. Yes, the Warriors blew a 31-point lead. Does that mean they'll lose in the Western Conference? Well, the second round to the Rockets? I mean, maybe, maybe not. That's what a flame grill take's for. So, nice one. All right, we'll be back with the last segment of the player, Australian Player Watch, Shane Hill Shooter Shoot, Paddy Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, and some game previews right after, let's say, these.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia. All right, let's do it. It's Australian Player Watch. We only had one Australian player going today. That's Paddy Thrills Mills. Hey, Paddy! On ya, Paddy! Paddy, Paddy, Paddy! Yeah, Paddy had 5 points in the loss to the Nugs. 20 minutes. 2 of 3 from the field. 1 of 3 from... 2 of 5 from the field. 1 of 3 from three. 3 rebounds, 5 assists. But was playing pretty great defense down the stretch on the old... Jamming Jamal Murray here and there when he was like trying to get shots off, and Paddy should have been used a little bit earlier, I reckon, but I don't know. I'm not going to second guess Greg Popovich now, am I? Nice. All right, so there you go. That's the only Australian Player Watch for today. We do have Bangers Banes, Kung Fu Thon, the Thon, 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 and Jinglin' Joe Ingles going tomorrow, so that'd be pretty cool. All right, what do we do on Wednesdays, though? Oh, you know you love it. Let's do it. It's the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up Award.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Because it is the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up Award for this week goes to Jammin' Jamal Murray. Holy shit, it was just that today, in the fourth quarter of that game, he leads his Nuggets to a huge 19-point come-from-behind win over the dreaded San Antonio Spurs. And look, man, they were staring down the barrel of this as well, the Nuggets, going, fuck, man, we're going to lose both of our games at home in the first round as the 2 seed? Shit. But Jam and Jamal Murray had a heel moment and a half, 21 points in the fourth quarter. He had started off the game 0 of 8
It's fucking nuts. He ends up with 24 points total, goes 8 of 9 in the fourth quarter. Now, that is a Shane Heal shooter, shoot your shot, light him up award winner right there. But also, honorable mention, we've got to give a little bit of a shout out to, we don't do shout outs in this program because it's a really stupid way of saying anything, but Lou Williams, 13 to 22 yesterday for his 36 points in leading the Clippers from 31 points down to beat the Warriors. You are an absolute dead set legend, Lou Williams. All right, let's do the Patty Mills Game Day, Buller. Game Day Twitter check-in as well. What do you reckon? We do that? All right, let's do it. Patty hasn't tweeted out. Jingling Joe Ingles, he's out there tweeting a little bit about, so he retweeted Chip Cookies. Who wants a Joe Ingles signed Utah Jazz jersey? He's giving one away to one lucky autism awareness hashtag Cookie Monster Chip supporter. To enter, purchase the Cookie Monster Chip post about, and then there's like an Instagram link. So go check that out if you want. But what I am going to give this one to today, the inspiration board, is Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, friend of the program, tweeted out all the essentials packed, hashtag Leo. And then it's an Instagram link to a picture of an empty suitcase with his dog sitting in it. Absolutely legendary. Now, if that's not inspiring, I don't know what is. All right, let's do the game previews for tomorrow, shall we?
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How's the hangover?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Should be right. All right, so we've got Thursday's games. We've got a bunch of game twos. Let's have a look at them, shall we? We've got India Boston, which is pretty fun. After Boston absolutely fucking kablammoed the Pacers in game one, the Celtics are 7.5-point favorites at home, and I'm going to take Boston minus 7.5 in that one. That's a 9 a.m. Eastern start tomorrow, which is really good. So yeah, give me Boston. I think India just sort of run their race, and I would not be surprised if, look, I reckon they'll win one game at home. I reckon this is a 5-game series pretty easily, I reckon. I'd have to go back and look at my predictions, but yeah, they did not look very good at all in game one, did they? So yeah, minus 7.5, give me Boston. Detroit visit the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are 15-point favorites at home. I mean, you've probably got to take that as well, don't you? They've just absolutely fucking stomped all over the Pistons. The Pistons, like, they've got the Duckman, Luke Kennard. He's the only one who can do anything. Reggie Jackson looks like a shell of himself. Andre Drummond keeps getting tossed. There's no one else on that team who can slow down Giannis over and have a hope in hell of doing so. So I think the Bucks smash it by about 20. So give me the Bucks minus 15. That game's at 10 a.m. tomorrow as well. Got an early start tomorrow. This is pretty good. And finally, Utah, the Jazz. I believe it's a soft J. After we watch Milwaukee, it's Algonquin for the good land. We have the Utah Jazz. They are 6.5-point underdogs going into Houston for game two, which kind of makes sense because Houston really seemed to have figured them out in game one. 6.5 points feels about right. So I think for the second day straight, I might have to go with the home favorite. Minus 6.5 for the Rockets. I think they'll pretty handily deal with the Jazz. Probably win by about 8 or something, I'd say, in this one. It's a pretty good one, though. So I'm going to go with the under in total points as a bit of a tip for tomorrow as well in the Jazz Rockets. It's 212.5 points. I'm going to go with the under. It's always weird and dicey going with the under for a Houston game. But yeah, I feel pretty good about that one. And yeah, that might do it. There you go. Rockets minus 6.5. So to recap, Celtics minus 7.5, Bucks minus 15, and Houston minus 6.5. I'm just going with the favorites again. Did the same thing yesterday. I think all the ones yesterday came through. Holy shit, I think they did. That's awesome. Good job, me. Ha ha, legendary. Awesome. All right, well, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Wrapping up those extra 3 game twos tomorrow, which will be really fun. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, and Insta. We had a new NBA Australia Never Forget go up today about Mark Bradke, which is pretty good. But yeah, we're all over the socials all during the day, all during the games. Get around it. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Follow us on Spotify, all that great stuff. And if you have a rating, just smash 5 stars, would you? It fucking helps heaps. And tell a mate, get them subscribed. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now and is an absolute fucking corker. It's so good, Running Out of Time, House Hats. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Rowdy's Reco as Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by for a new life hack. And we We'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen! Hello there, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff here. Just back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff, try to help you live a little bit more of a stress-free life. After all, I survived playing in Russia, where once we had to dig our way out of an arena because it had been snowed in. We lost 5 good men that day. So, I think I can safely say I've dealt with my share of stress. So, this week's Rowdy's Reco is really, really simple. If you're stressing out, if life is overwhelming you a bit, one of the easiest life hacks out there also happens to be one of my favorites. It's a really simple way to relax yourself, and it's great for your mindset. It's pat a dog. That's right, if you don't have one yourself, like I do with my best mate, my Aussie Shepherd Leo, just find the nearest dog. Ask the owner if you can pat it, and pat away. There's literally nothing better for your soul than looking into those big brown eyes that stare back at you with no judgment or accusations, just love and appreciation. It's like pressing reset on your mind. I mean, a dog doesn't stress out about work or about paying the rent or the Mavericks picking up their team option for 2019 and 20. They just live in the moment, and so should you. So there you go. It's simple. If you're feeling tired, feeling stressed, either grab your best mate or pop down the local dog park and pat a dog. They're man's best friends for a reason, after all. And once you pat that dog and they lean into it, the rhythms and structures of life will wash all over you, leaving you feeling great, less stressed, and ready to take on the world in no time. Okay, so that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. Until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. Keep living your best life, and namaste.